Hello, hello, welcome again to the Game Nuts Podcast, episode 19. This is Boater.
Sticky here.
And Fear the Claw.
Since we didn't record last week and next week I'm going to be gone, we're actually bumping up our schedule on which sucks less. For those of you paying attention to the brackets, PSP 3000 versus PSP Go will be next weekend. This week we're going to engage in the ultimate of flame baiting with Xbox 360 Elite versus the PlayStation 3 Slim.
That should really draw a lot of flack from some people, I'm sure.
Yeah. Let's we'll try to limit ourselves to about 15 minutes on this. We're actually, this is going to be a slightly longer podcast. We're shooting at around 45 for this one. So let's, without further ado, Sticky, your thoughts.
Oh, my thoughts. Well, in my mind...
Where do we start?
Where do we start?
Let's start by saying last year, at this time of the year, I think we both would have said 360.
Yes, that, I completely agree with that. Last year, 360 was the console to get.
This year, just as a reminder, we're not going with anyone that has played God of War or Halo or Ratchet and Clank. Someone who's completely new to it, so we won't factor those pre-existing franchises into it. It's like, they're good games. The new ones that came out are good games, but let's not be like, oh, well, they have a PS2, so they're going to get a PS3.
Yeah, I mean, but it's hard not to factor in the good games.
Yeah. Because
it's the games that make the system.
Certainly. I'm just saying if you play Ratchet and Clank, then you want to get this one. If you play Halo, then you want to get this one.
We're not going to play the exclusive game.
Right.
My personal thoughts are that with the price point currently, I think the PS3 is a better system. The only reason I say that is, I would say the number one thing that stands out in my mind is the Wi-Fi adapter being included in the PS3 versus not being included in the Elite. So that's something that I think it makes the difference right there. In a current generation console, I think it's despicable not to have Wi-Fi in there.
Okay. On the other hand, Wi-Fi kind of limits your capabilities. If you want the fast response time, hardwired is kind of the way to go anyway.
But they don't exclude hardwire from the system. I mean, they still give you the Ethernet port on the back. It's just giving you another option for it. The Wii is the one that does not have a network adapter already installed, which is just ridiculous because it's like a $2 plug.
I mean, you're there.
Yeah.
My thoughts on Wi-Fi is, like, I really didn't care that much. I was never big on wireless anyway.
Every other component in my house is wireless, so it doesn't take that much to just put the modem next to the Xbox for me.
I got a, you know, in the apartment when I set that up back in February, I put the, hub in the room with the computers, but the Xbox is out in the living room. What I did instead of worrying about wireless is I got a 25 foot Ethernet cord and ran that out there.
See, here's the thing for me though. I'm playing in a basement where my router is on upstairs on the opposite side of the room. So
worst possible setup.
Yeah,
and that's probably not really good with your Wi-Fi either.
No. To be fair, I run a hardwired connection to my 360 or to my computer or my 360, depending on which one I'm really using at the time. Generally, I will have my PS3 and Wii on Wi-Fi. It's just a convenience for me because I have to run 125 foot cord.
Yeah.
And that's not very appealing running across my entire house. I actually had to drill a hole in my floor to do that, which I think decreased the value a little bit.
Alright, what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna mark down as we talk about each topic, I'm gonna say which one wins and then we'll tally it up at the end.
Alright, okay.
To me it comes down to whether you usually play alone or again online, because as far as online functionality, infrastructure and everything, the Xbox 360 has it over any other system out there.
Clearly, the way that they set it up is much better than the way that the PS3 sets it up, and the Wii for that matter. Yeah.
So if you're getting a next gen system because you want to play, you know, your Call of Duty games or, you know, Halo games or you know, if your first-person shooter competitive games or any other competitive game, you're going to want the 360 because you know it's going
to
work.
Yeah, it has very robust online support. As a quick aside, I'm giving Wi-Fi to the PS3 just because it is included.
Yep.
The 360 has adapters. They have a faster adapter coming out, lowering the price of the old one.
Yep.
But the PS3
but
has
still too expensive.
It's still too expensive. Even when they lowered the old one to $70.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's... I know.
I couldn't pay that.
It's 100 right now.
Yeah.
It's $100 on top.
If you're gonna do mostly online gaming, the PS3 kind of has it all. I mean, most of the hot games that come out for the 360 come out on the PS3.
It is getting harder to say, this game's coming out and it's really exclusive. I would probably give online, as far as like online support, to the 360, because PS3 is free. But with the 360, you get what you pay for. You know, if you pay $50 a year, you get a lot of really nice stuff. Not just the gaming, but the Xbox Live Gold membership benefits, like the Left 4 Dead 2 demo dropping early. The constant support, constant upgrades, which I think are progressing faster than PlayStation Home upgrades.
What I would like to say, though, is that Sony has recognized that online is a big part of their... is a big factor when most consumers go to buy. And they really are making a push to make it as good, if not better, than the than the 360.
Are they including headsets?
I don't want to talk about it. although the one thing I can say is
any
Bluetooth headset. So if you go to Verizon or AT&T, you can pick up a Bluetooth headset for $20. So
that's not many people are going to think of that. But yeah. All right, so we pretty much decided if you're going to do anything online, 360 is the way to go.
I'm saying 360 online.
I'll say 360 too.
Okay.
But I want to make it known that Sony's making the push between Netflix support, which I think we will be talking about a little bit later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the revamp of the PlayStation Network in the last 6 months.
So who knows what online will be like this time next year?
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned. I'm going to say really quick. The failure rate, it goes to PS3. We don't even have to talk about that. Even with the new motherboards, 360 failure rate is, somewhere between 5 and 10.
Yeah.
I don't know how they can not...
PS3 is like 1.
I don't know how they can have gone this long without finding a final, although, this will fix it.
Although the 360 does have a better warranty on it.
Yeah.
My friend had to send in his PS3 twice now.
Really?
Yes, he has a 60-gig PS3, had to send it in twice. And the second time it cost $150 to send it in.
What's the big typical issue with the PS3 again?
It's the yellow light of death. I'm not even sure what the actual hardware failure itself
is. It may not even be a single hardware failure. It's just, general, this might go wrong or that might go wrong.
To be honest,
because that sort of thing happens with the 360 too. It's just that the Red Ring of Death in E74 is so much higher.
Yeah. To be honest, more systems for the PS3 that I've heard crash are because of firmware updates. Because of Sony breaking the system,
So that has to be factored in too. I'm still gonna give PS3 the check mark on failure rate.
They definitely deserve it.
Pretty much every
360. It is worth noting that now, 3.01 breaks some consoles, and there's a class action lawsuit.
Which won't go through because
they listed every single PS3 owner, even those that didn't have anything bricked.
Right.
Yeah. So pretty much every 360 has or will fail at some point, whereas the PS3s are a little bit more reliable.
To be fair,
every console will fail eventually.
But not usually within the first 3 years.
Most of them maybe
within the next 10.
Yeah.
So, again, we've all pretty much agreed that online, go with the 360. So if you're not going to do a lot of online, I don't do a lot of online gaming.
Let's take this one at a time. I want to talk a little bit about the hardware, the wireless hardware, which I actually prefer how the 360 does it, which is, you don't have to connect it to, it seems more streamlined to me.
For
controllers and stuff.
Wireless controllers?
It's a small difference, but it's something that I'm going to, put half a check mark on.
9 out of 10 times when somebody buys a console from us, they'll call us back saying, "Oh, dude, our controller's broken." It's not their controller's broken. They just don't notice that little button.
I've never had people call me back with that.
I've had a lot of people do it. And with the PS3...
Once,
if you go to charge your controllers with the PS3, it's connected. That's all it is. Plug it in. Oh, I'm connected, and then you're done. And the fact that they include rechargeable batteries in their controller is a big factor.
Okay, that's
for me
true.
Too.
That's true. I mean, I like being able to just go to my controller, hit the button, and it's on. Or like if I turn it on at the console, I don't have to, you know, hit the button to wait for the controller to turn on.
You can do that with the PS3 once you already set up the controller too. I mean, I honestly think that they work almost exactly the same.
Okay, I'll leave that one as neutral then.
Yep.
Okay, so
I didn't do it.
Why are you breaking our things?
I didn't
work here.
So, offline gaming.
I will say games in general. Then we'll go to Netflix.
One of the serious considerations for me getting the PS3 is, of course, the Blu-ray. Got an HDTV and surround sound system, and Blu-ray is decidedly the format of the next generation.
As a separate thing, I'm going to say entertainment, and that goes to PS3 by simple virtue of Blu-ray.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm going to hold on to that, because we might say Netflix 56.
But,
games themselves.
In typical Sony fashion, their game systems don't just play games; they do everything else under the sun.
Does everything.
Yeah, I have my own opinion on video game systems doing things other than playing video games. But that aside, the fact that it is one of the best Blu-ray players out there, it automatically updates itself and can play anything.
Crazy fast load times on Blu-rays, whereas I've seen horror stories of Blu-ray players taking 45 seconds to load every menu.
Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Games.
Yes.
For me, games seem about equal. Going into it fresh, because you have, you know, shooters that had something on the previous generation, Halo, Killzone. You have brand new titles that are great, stellar, and like Resistance and Gears of War.
Yep.
The game has Uncharted.
I've heard great things about Uncharted.
That's very true. I'm trying to think of an analog on the 360.
Yeah.
But it's
the Fable. New Rockstar
Fable.
Okay. So it was a new Rockstar game that's supposed to be coming out. But is it Heavy Rain or is that the
Peter? Yeah, Heavy Rain. Yeah.
But in addition to some really stellar exclusives on both systems, a lot of things are coming out cross-platform. You know,
I've got some comments about cross-platform to begin with.
Okay.
First off, I want to mention that I think this year PS3 has some more or has better exclusive games, but here's my problem with cross-platform games. It is so much easier to develop on the 360.
Oh my god, yes.
That developers, like cross-platform developers, like EA specifically, develop their games for the 360.
Because you're basically producing it for Windows at that point.
Yeah, and they optimize it for the 360. Then they port it over to the PS3. Now, the way that the PS3 computes with its cell processor, it's a lot harder to program a cell processor to run things as fast as a normal CPU does.
Yeah.
But
I forget if I use this analogy on the air, but PS3 is saying, look at how good our hardware is. It's that high up. And all the developers are saying, yeah, but that's a wicked steep slope.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
It's really hard to get up there.
It's hard to utilize all of the capabilities of the PS3 and the cell processor because of the way it computes things. But overall, I think it ends up being... The cross-platform games end up being better on the 360, but the exclusives end up being that much better on the PS3 because they use extra hardware.
Yeah.
Do you have any input on it, or?
I'm not that much of a graphics whore, honestly. I mean, I love it when games look great and sound great and everything, but at the same time, I would rather have a fantastic game that may not look spectacular but plays really well and is fun to play than one that looks spectacular but I'm kind of meh about.
So games I want to call a draw. PS3 exclusives being that much better, but cross-platform being really optimized for 360.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Netflix.
Netflix obviously has it on the 360 because they don't...
Instant HD streaming to your console?
Instant HD streaming. That's all you have to say. With the PS3, they just announced that they're going to be doing Netflix, but you have to have a disc in.
Yeah.
Which is not that much of a hassle, but it's enough. It's enough to push the...
To push it to 360.
Yeah. Yep.
So if we give Netflix to 360, we give Blu-ray to PS3.
Yeah.
Where does entertainment sit? Does that tip the scales either way?
Yes. Yeah. Entertainment for me is a big thing. I like how the systems are turning into doing more than just playing games.
Yeah. When I had my Halloween party the other week, I ripped a whole bunch of CDs to my Xbox's hard drive and used that as just, the stereo system.
Yeah. All right. I do the same thing with my PS3. I dump tons of music, movies, and TV shows on there.
The PS3 is so much more forgiving with video files.
Yeah, compatible, like, AVIs work, WMAs work, everything does. And also, I want to point out that they can also, they can rip DVDs, which is something that I don't think 360 can do.
Really?
Not ripping. I know that they play them, obviously.
Right,
they don't rip them. I use it for more of the whole full entertainment system, which is good, and it upscales better. It upscales the DVDs
better. It does. So I would say entertainment in general goes to PS3.
And it's actually a big factor for me.
Right, so we're hitting about 15 minutes with this. Any more categories you want to bring up in this?
Price point.
The price is even.
The price is even right now.
Because, again, we're talking elite versus slim. Price is even.
Yep.
Heck, the hard drive size is the same thing, as long as we're talking about those specific SKUs.
Yeah, yep.
I think... you'd probably get more all-around bang for your buck going for the PS3 because, again, online is free, whereas, the good online for 360 is another $50. Wireless is another $100. If you only have $300 to spend on a console this year, And you're not that big on it because
I'm an Xbox fan. Well, I'm a Halo fanboy. I'm an Xbox fan.
I will still say that if what you really want is online gaming, if you really want to jump into games and play online, still spend the extra money for what you need to get onto Xbox Live with a 360.
But agreed. But
if all you want is just a game
for the
system,
brackets,
PS3 Slim.
I'm gonna say general winner is PS3 Slim. But because of the PS3 taking up market share right now, their sales have increased 700% in Japan. 700%. I read that 2 weeks ago, and I think the 360 and Wii are going to be dropping their prices after the holiday season.
The Wii probably just dropped their price. I wouldn't be surprised if the 360 did.
Yeah, the 360 after the holiday season, but I'm thinking Wii somewhere in the middle.
I would guess probably around March when Christmas 2 comes out.
Alright.
Okay, so winner of the bracket then.
Winner declared. PS3 Slim.
We're gonna get flamed for this. We have like 20 listeners. We're gonna have like 200 people coming in and flaming us.
Yeah.
Hey, how do you think I feel? I'm a Nintendo fanboy.
Yeah. That's gotta be embarrassing.
Sony is the enemy to me.
Okay. So, how about an announcement now? A couple things about the store. First off, we're gonna be getting a new Game Nuts location on Route 5 in Canastota. So we're psyched for that. And Justin will be joining the team.
Yay.
For those of you listening at home, that is Fear the Claw.
So finally I will be officially a Game Nuts.
You would get paid
member
to be
here. Which is a little less exciting than the new store.
The other announcement is that I would like to have another moment of silence on the podcast. Thursday night, Art Starkweather, stepdad to the owner as well as co-founder of Game Nuts, passed away. So I'd just like to have a moment of silence and respect for him and what he's done for all of us. Okay. From there, let's find something. Let's go to something absolutely hilarious. No doubt is suing Activision.
Yes, I almost wrote that one down
because their characters in Band Hero can sing any song, not just No Doubt songs. We're getting some flashbacks here.
This sounds familiar.
Because remember when Courtney Love was suing over Kurt Cobain?
Crazy blonde.
doing.
Here's the difference.
Music games.
No Doubt says specifically that the contract stated that they were only to sing their own songs. It's not where, like, Courtney Love, as far as I could tell, was just like, oh, well, I didn't read the contract well enough, but it's still your fault.
Yeah.
Here, it looks like a breach of contract on Activision's part.
I did read a statement from Activision saying that they're well within the realm of their contract. I mean, I know that they have to say this,
yeah,
but that it is counting. But how embarrassing is it that you have to get your ideas from Courtney Love? That's bad.
And plus with Band Hero, like, censoring so much.
Yes, I had that.
So many lines just pulled out for, like, no reason.
Here's my issue with stuff like that. Band Hero seemed like, I was thinking about picking up Lego Rock Band, but I looked at the track list. Pretty much all the songs on Lego Rock Band are familiar yet family friendly from the get-go.
Yeah.
If you look at Band Hero, it's like a kids' bop CD. It's all the songs you hear on the radio.
Yeah.
That kids sing,
like on Radio Disney.
But shouldn't necessarily
Band Hero,
be singing.
Band Hero is Radio Disney.
Yeah.
Yank out all those songs. You know, even like all those lyrics, like even small ones. Okay, Go, Here It Goes. A Million Ways. One
yes.
Last 80 proof slouching in the corner booth. They took out the first part of that song because it's an alcohol reference.
But yeah, but here's my thing. Why would you put it in there in the first place? If you know you're going to have to censor these songs for minute little things, why bother putting the song in? There are so many great songs out there.
I don't like censoring songs at all. Like, it bothers me when Rock Band 2, in two places in one song, in a live, a Pearl Jam song, they have to censor
put
spit.
Well, that's okay, so do we.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of that is understandable to go for a T rating, but
yeah.
Band Hero's going for an E rating.
Yeah.
And there's very few songs that are fun to sing that would be E rated.
Right.
And here's the thing, a lot of them would be E rated even with those lyrics intact,
yeah.
Because some of them are just suggestive or, like, you know, one last 80 proof. You know what? What 8-year-old is going to know what that means anyway?
Yeah.
But yeah, if you can't include the song without truncating it,
yeah.
Then don't include it at all. Find another song. Like, Here It Goes Again. Would
probably
be perfect.
If I look through it, we probably have something else.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Let's
see. Announcement. I mentioned this on a very quick recording last week just because we weren't able to be here, but a new DSi was in fact released. It is not the DSi Lite with the GBA port. It is the DSi LL or DSi XL in North America. Coming out November 21st in Japan, Q1 of next year for Europe and North America. Has a 93% larger screen size with 4-inch screens. If you open up the DSi XL and place it on top of a Wii box, you cannot see the game box for the Wii.
The open
underneath.
Box, right? Am I correct?
No, closed up.
Oh, all right.
If you take boom blocks and set it in front of you all closed up, and you take the XL and put it over there, you cannot see boom blocks anymore.
That's...
My problem with that, doesn't that kind of break gameplay? Imagine trying to play Phantom Hourglass or something with that thing. Your arm would be all over the place.
Well, it is still only 4 inches, but what bothers me is that it's,
That's what she said.
Shut up! I was trying so hard not to. Oh, that's what she said. But what bothers me is that it's not a handheld. It's a handheld, but it's not something you can slip in your pocket anymore.
Yeah, that's...
Alright, I didn't say it.
I think... I don't know, I think they're going for a slightly different market here.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, okay, it's so that people can watch you play the game, as opposed to the DSi when it first came out, everyone has their own, and it was personalized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want other people to watch you play a game, play it on a television.
Or if...
You know what could fix that problem?
I mean,
video output.
Or, okay.
Yeah, that would...
That's what I do with my PSP. Hey, check out Rock Band Unplugged. Plug it into the TV. See, look at this. You know?
It is going to be the heaviest handheld in this generation, including the PSP 1000. Going to be heavier than that. It'll have two pens. One that's close to the DS Lite-DSi size, and one longer one that's probably about pen length. As I'm holding up a pen for illustrative purposes.
Yes.
Yes, on the audio podcast.
Yes. It does have better battery life than the original DSi.
Which...
I don't know how. It has all the same capabilities and larger LCD screens.
This is just a really strange move for Nintendo. They're really kind of the Willy Wonka of video game companies.
Yeah. Two steps forward, one back, and then two more, you know? I don't know. I think that it's a little ridiculous that they're basically making their latest system obsolete already.
I wouldn't say it's going to be obsolete.
It's going to be weird because they're going to be selling three systems at once. DSi, yeah. DSi XL, DS Lite. They can't get rid of the DS Lite right now because of the GBA support of a new game coming out that has a piano attachment. They can't get rid of the DS Lite. So they're going to be doing like three systems at once, and I don't really think that's a smart move. I mean, you look at other industries. I don't know how it'll work for this, but in other industries, GM had like seven brands. Look at where they are now.
Yeah.
Because they were cannibalizing each other's sales.
I really want to talk about this in a lot more depth later.
Okay.
Can we save this for next time? Because I want to talk about. I have a lot of thoughts about how SKUs are killing. Like are hurting the console sales and hurting the consumer.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to make a short segment.
Anything more on the DSi XL?
Just the fact that this seems kind of strange for a Japanese company to be making an electronic device larger. That's kind of opposite.
Yeah.
It's counterintuitive for them.
Yeah.
It's true.
What have you got, Claw?
Because
Sticky didn't bring a list with him, so we'll go back and forth and he'll just comment on what we brought up.
Yep.
Okay, so probably about a week or so ago, I meant to mention this on the last podcast we recorded, about a week or so ago there was a new update for the Xbox 360 dashboard.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that it does is it locks out unofficial memory units.
Yeah.
Which, you know, kind of hard to find those anyway, but one company in particular, Daytel, makes a lot of third-party peripherals, in particular dealing with memory, that
we got people standing outside the window, so I'm a little distracted.
That's fine. On that note, most of the time that you see something, even if it's not made by Microsoft, it's like, you know, it has a Microsoft seal of approval on it. So, I mean, I don't really blame them for not allowing stuff on their system that hasn't been, you know, cleared through them. It could go either way.
Yeah, I don't blame them, but at the same time, it's a little underhanded because every video game system has had third-party peripherals, and they're usually not as good. And in particular with Daytel, what their things do usually allow you to, you know, copy game saves off the internet and put them on and this and that.
So, I completely understand. It's stuff that would be able to potentially allow hacking, piracy.
This doesn't affect, like, one. It affects maybe one out of 100 consumers.
Yeah,
maybe.
If that.
Yeah.
So again, which brings up, why would Microsoft have gone out of their way to do it, you know?
Well, why not? I mean, it's probably that, like, one program was like, I bet I could do something to fix this. And Microsoft was like, sure, why not? I mean, I don't think it's something that they, you know, got in a big board meeting and they're like, we need to stop this. I think it was one guy like, I think I can stop this.
Well, here's my issue. A while back, I bought a Daytel peripheral. You plug it into your computer and you plug a memory unit into it. And you can transfer game saves, you know, back and forth from your 360 to your computer. And one of the reasons I got it is because I want to get Grand Theft Auto San Andreas to play on the 360.
Yeah.
What I wanted out of that is to, because I've already played through most of San Andreas on the PS2, is download a game save off the internet, put it on the memory card, put that on my system, so that I don't have to play through, or transfer all of my old Xbox game saves onto the 360, which for some stupid reason, Microsoft still hasn't allowed us to do. And now I can't do that. Now, if I want to play a game like Burnout 3, I have to pull out my old or my old Xbox.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
So you're
again,
the,
it doesn't
you're the one in 100 that nobody cares about.
So I'm used to that.
Okay, let's talk Modern Warfare 2, since that's coming out this week.
God.
Modern Warfare 2 announced a player cap of 18, 9v9, instead of 32, 16v16. Quoth an angry gamer at a Best Buy-hosted Q&A session, please explain how a 9v9 match is a multiplayer experience. I'd have more fun serving lunch at a local nursing home. And, yeah, wow. I mean, I understand the idea of, okay, let's not have maps big enough to support 16v16. Let's have them be a little smaller so we can balance it more. But at the same time, if this is supposed to be, like, a warfare simulator, cities aren't that small. Have it be big. Have it be sprawling. You know.
I agree. They should have the 16-on-16. It's
standard now. Yeah, one have a 32-player max.
One thing that you don't do with a sequel is take things out unless they're broken, and that's something that is not broken.
I'm sure what they'll probably end up doing is releasing new larger maps and functionality as DLC later, and people
maybe
will buy them.
If they hear a big enough outcry, then they will, I'm sure. But it's going to take a lot of game coding to change, I think, to make it 16.
Modern Warfare 2 also has a scene of terrorist atrocities, which I guess you can like sort of skip through. But I really like this. I'm not going to say too much about it. There wasn't a whole lot released about it. Sort of a minor spoiler sort of thing. I just like that, you know, it has this thing, it deals with a mature theme. About time that M rating is actually about a mature theme instead of blood, drugs, and
Yeah.
You know, instead of like, oh, we can't hear that word, this is something that is a really advanced idea, a mature idea that a 13-year-old probably wouldn't quite get fully.
It's right. Like what we were talking about a while ago about mature games being more, like you said,
like
more,
mature.
Yeah, mature subject matter. You know,
so that's
making you feel uncomfortable.
That's one little bright spot of news that I like hearing about Modern Warfare 2.
I think people are a little too uptight about mature ratings and things like that. This one actually warrants a mature rating. Because of the content here. Mm-hmm. It's not just...
It's not that it's violent, so okay, it's that.
Oh, there's blood, so we gotta throw an M on here.
Yeah.
This is actually making you think about real topics and how this would actually affect you personally, you know?
We're talking about the undercover scenes, right?
Yeah, the one... Yeah. Where
The only problem with that, and somebody else mentioned this in a podcast I was listening to, is... Even if you are undercover in any situation, you are not allowed to break the law.
I don't know the specifics of
the law.
That's
not really true.
I don't know if it's the character, like your player character doing it, or I don't know if it's someone near you doing it. I don't really know.
If you are in the U.S. Army and you are undercover in a terrorist organization, you cannot kill...
Lies.
Innocence.
Lies.
Civilians.
No. If a police officer...
Oh, Jesus.
If a police officer is in, like, an undercover drugs thing, and they're like, oh, you gotta do some coke to be one of us, he has to, like, he's gotta...
Yeah, that's killing people. From killing someone.
Yeah,
that's not killing innocent civilians.
It's breaking the law.
Can we not have this conversation? Can we agree that, Modern Warfare is dealing with mature subject matter?
And them. Yay. And we're happy about
it. Earning the M rating for a good reason and move on.
Yeah, and we see this crap on TV all the time.
Yeah.
So that why... Yeah. And why is it such a big deal about it coming in games?
Because video games are for children.
Oh, clearly.
And we have to protect the children.
Venezuela actually outlawed most forms of video games.
Oh yeah, I heard about that last night.
Yeah, I was reading something where a Venezuelan, I forget his name, but he wrote an editorial.
Hugo Chavez.
He wrote an editorial about Venezuela and how it's just become worse and worse for that sort of thing. How it's just becoming a bad place to live, to understate it. And how, you know, the government is more interested in finding scapegoats, the latest of which is video games, because it shows, you know, the liberal American mass media and blah, 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 and it's horrible.
Yeah.
And I didn't write that down.
Bless America.
I'm going to punch you in the balls.
Yeah.
Wow.
Stop.
No. But it's... I didn't write down too much on that, but that's just... depressing.
Well, yeah. my point in singing that is, as many problems as we have with the government going after our media, we still have the Supreme Court upholding the First Amendment, mm-hmm. saying, you may not like it, but our government gives these people the
right to do
it.
I don't agree with what you do, but I'll fight for your right to do it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, let's see, I don't care about that. So, Battlefield Bad Company 2, in a way tangentially related to Modern Warfare, a fan sent the developers in Sweden a $60 check. Said, this is the money that I was going to spend on, well, it was left out, but we're pretty sure it was Modern Warfare 2. It's like, keep going on your dedication to a good game, keep going on your dedication to dedicated servers,
keep being awesome. Put this money towards the production, especially if you use it towards getting dedicated servers to be cool. And it's like, yay, super fan. That was a neat thing to point out.
It's hilarious, yeah.
So, you go ahead.
Yeah, we mentioned a couple weeks ago the possibility of a successor to the Wii that might be backwards compatible. A Wii HD, like they call it. Apparently, Reggie Fils-Aimé, who is... is he president or just spokesperson for Nintendo?
How did you just say his name?
Fils-Aimé.
Is that how you say it?
Yes. I have no idea.
I wasn't sure either, but I listened to several video game podcasts.
Maybe they're all wrong.
It looks like Film Ames or something like that. Yeah.
No, it's Reggie Fils-Aimé. That's how media outlets have pronounced it.
Reggie.
But yeah, Reggie. The jock-looking guy who works for Nintendo basically said that there is no Wii HD.
That's his job to say that.
I know.
Yeah, it's, and I just wonder... I wouldn't really care about a Wii HD. It's if... Again, I've mentioned this a little bit before and sort of wanted to wait until we talked about the Wii and which sucks less, but I think a better move for Nintendo if they want to do another thing in the home console market is to have a hardcore console. Right now they have a casual console with a couple hardcore games. Yeah. I think they should make a hardcore console to sell alongside the Wii.
Which I think is what the Wii HD was kind of supposed to be implying is...
If it keeps the name Wii on it, it's going to stay a casual console.
I think Nintendo's best bet, if they're going to do something like that, and again, like you said, this could be just Reggie saying, oh, there is no Wii HD. But what we're not going to tell you is there's another system in the works that's like what you're talking about, just doesn't use that name.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
But what I think Nintendo's best bet would be, especially in the nature of backwards compatibility, is a hardcore geared console that still plays Wii games.
Yeah.
And then
Nintendo, they look at their old fans and they're like, hi, we're over here. And then Nintendo fans are like, no, f*** you. We're through with you.
Yeah. I already have all three systems, so I kind of have to invest. Yeah. It's just required for me now.
Yeah.
But
that's why I need a PS3, because I've had all three systems last generation. I have two of the three this generation.
Yep. And as we've just stated, it's the better of the two systems now, the better value.
Yep. Especially when it's the only one you don't have.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, Assassin's Creed Lineage Part 1 was posted. You saw that?
I did. It was so good.
Did you see that? The Assassin's Creed movie? The Part 1 of 3. It's like a 15-minute Assassin's Creed short film.
Is this on Xbox Live?
I didn't see it when I was looking for it. Assassin's Creed UK is the YouTube user where you can find it in HD. It follows Giovanni Auditor for the main character, not Ezio.
Yeah,
Ezio makes a cameo.
It's Ezio's father.
Oh, thanks. Well, I guess they did release that in press release. I was going to say, it's sort of... That's why I was surprised when I saw Ezio in there and he referred to his son as Ezio. I'm like, oh, that's awesome! But I wasn't going to say it on here. Thanks,
Rob. Really? You didn't... Like, I thought there was a common...
It was mentioned in a press release beforehand, but I didn't realize that I didn't see that press release until afterwards. I thought that I saw that and I'm like, that's something that's a spoiler that shouldn't be mentioned, but whatever.
They did
a wicked good job with Lineage.
Yeah.
An amazing good job.
The production value is beautiful on it.
It feels, no more than that, Hollywood could do production value. It feels like Assassin's Creed. When he climbs up a wall, backs up, and then jumps across a narrow street onto another building top, it feels like Assassin's Creed.
It does.
Am I correct in assuming that this is CG animation?
No, it's live action.
Oh, wow.
Very good live action.
The same way of like 300, where it's all like CG backgrounds and stuff, but it's live action.
It's from the creative director of 300.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
What is it?
But the thing is that Ubisoft, happy I pronounced it right, is actually, you know, heavily involved in the production. They are the producers. It's not a Hollywood thing. They kept it in-house. So, I mean, I haven't grinned that hard at To Be Continued in a long time.
I mean, me too. I was like, oh, really? Come on. I can't wait another week for this.
I have never played Assassin's Creed, and I'm not really into the story, but I would love to see
Even if you're not into Assassin's Creed as a game, if you're like, Assassin's Creed was a good idea, but the gameplay was sort of meh, you have to watch this Part 1. It was like 15 minutes, and it's just... Part 2 is probably coming out next week.
Yeah, it's... It's got to come out, but like they should be releasing the second one right before the game comes out, and the third one right after, I would say.
Yeah. So based on what you've seen, if I've never played Assassin's Creed 1, but I'm interested in playing Assassin's Creed 2, would watching these movies fill me in on?
Yes. No. No.
It does not
it does not fill him in on the backstory from Assassin's Creed 1.
Yeah, it doesn't have much to do with Animus.
But it does give you more... It gives you more emotional input into Assassin's Creed 2. Like, it makes me
I'm going to care about Ezio now as a character.
Yes,
I can already tell that Ezio is going to be a likable character, whereas Altair, I didn't really care about him. It was sort of nice to go through with him, but him personally, I didn't care.
Yeah, I'll say the same thing. I liked the idea of him more than the actual character of him. And I think Ezio's going to do a good job, especially because... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to be spoiling things and...
Yeah, watch it. It's, again, Assassin's Creed UK is the YouTube user.
Yeah.
I want to get one more thing in before you go. This is going to be short. I want to give a big thank you to James Callahan for the Stereotype Supporter Award. Just as public scrutiny of video games causing violence began to lessen, your undiagnosed schizophrenic ass lost a game of FIFA 08, got drunk off a bottle of vodka, and went on a mad killing spree, attacking cyclists, teenagers, and finally killing a 65-year-old grandmother. I would like to punch you in the face, not as a violent gamer, but as someone who cannot stand people reinforcing these violent stereotypes. And they're going to blame it on the gaming. Instead of his, undiagnosed schizophrenia and him getting drunk when he has a history of being violent when he's drunk, they're going to blame it on him losing FIFA 08.
Oh, of course.
Which isn't even something to get mad. It's not even a violent game.
It's an E-rated game.
Yeah, get ready to hear from Jack Thompson and Leland Yee about this one.
Well, he's in the UK, so I don't know Jack Thompson's legal standing in the UK.
He doesn't have a legal standing in the US.
I know. He's been disbarred from many US states, but I don't know if he has a license to practice law in the UK.
Yeah, I don't
that
think
that would
he
be
does.
Scary.
No, that would.
They'd probably want
actually,
that
you know what? Let's
that.
Ship him over there. Let him fight battles over there.
Sorry, guys. You keep him this time.
Yeah.
It's like custody of an unwanted child.
You know what? We should just send Jack Thompson to Venezuela.
Excellent. Or Australia.
He'll be at home.
Yeah, he'll fit right in there.
Okay, so, what do we got?
So, just a couple of little things. One that I wanted to mention. I know we were talking about Band Hero, Lego Rock Band, those, you know, family-friendly games. Well, if you really want a Lego Rock Band, apparently there's an advertisement... I don't know in what, but there's an advertisement for possibly, now I take this with a grain of salt, but the possibility to get Lego Rock Band, a $50 game, for free for spending $20 on Black Friday at Old Navy.
Well, to be fair...
sounds about what I expected.
It sounds to be fair, you could get Guitar Hero Van Halen a, $50 game, maybe, for free.
For buying another,
video game.
Not for buying a pair of jeans.
Well...
But you have to look at the target markets. Old Navy. Generally, people who wear Old Navy. 13, 14-year-old kids, I would say, somewhere around there. Maybe even a little younger.
Maybe. It's cheap.
All right, that's...
cheap
just
is good.
Just reinforcing everything I'm saying right now. And Lego Rock Band, who's that focused towards? Yes, that's correct. The same age group that I was just currently mentioning.
Yeah.
Hey. I go for cheap, and I want Lego Rock Band, so okay, I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Hey, I want to play Ghostbusters. Is that such a crime?
Not really.
All right. Halo Waypoint came out this past week, which you probably don't care.
I don't.
And I don't know about you, but I enjoyed playing around in it for 5-10 minutes. Halo Waypoint. It's like a central thing for all your Halo games. You go on there, and it counts up all your gamer score from all your games and gives you a rank on that. Like, I'm ranked 33 of 40 combined gamer score from Halo 3, ODST, and Halo Wars.
Yeah, I would be
it gives
probably
you like a special it gives you like special awards when you do related things. It's not going to add extra achievements, but it's pretty neat to be like, oh hey, I got the co-op award tier 2 because of complete co-op campaign on all three games.
Did either of you guys see those real fuzzy Halo Halo Reach pictures?
I thought about mentioning that, and then I figured this probably isn't
accurate enough to make it worth.
Yeah.
Did you see the pictures? Even because of the quality, it screams Halo. And
it had a Needler. It had a Needler rocket launcher.
They called it a Needler carbine, which is like if you hit the guy three times with it, then they explode.
Yeah. Which is a lot better than the Halo 3 one, which you gotta hit them with 10 and then they explode. Otherwise, they just sort of.
Yes.
Halo 1, Halo 2, you could hit them with any number and they would still explode and do some damage. Just not massive damage.
I never hated the Needler, but yeah.
One more Halo thing for me, as long as we're on the topic. I played Halo Wars co-op with a friend, and that works really well.
Ow.
I don't know how you guys have played, like, if you guys have done RTS co-op as far as, like, in a campaign where both of you are controlling the same faction.
Yeah, I did it on a real console for RTS's computers. That's what it
is. Was it the same faction, though, or were you guys just both separate factions but working together towards a common goal?
Actually, in the one that I played, you shared unit control, so, both you guys have two different factions, but each player can control the other player's buildings and units also.
Okay, that seems like it worked pretty well.
I could spend my money to build grunts at your place or whatever.
I really like how Halo Wars did because you share units, you share buildings, so each of us could use the barracks to build something. But when we build something, it comes out as our color. Mine come out green, his comes out blue. And that way, when he does select all, it only selects his units. If I decide I'm going to focus on defense, I'm going to build... a couple tanks for defense, you build the rest and go on offense. I can select all and attack something in sort of a panic move without disrupting his offensive capability.
I've really got to try Halo Wars.
Really well.
I have the demo on my Xbox. I haven't tried it yet because I love Halo, and of course, Halo started as an RTS to begin with.
Yep.
So I really wanted to try it, but I don't know. I've never really played an RTS, so I was kind of lukewarm about it.
You've never played any RTSs?
Halo Wars is a really good intro to RTS.
Say
whatever you will about how Halo Wars works as an advanced RTS. It's a really good beginner to RTS, so
I would agree with that. It's a great beginner RTS, but as a hardcore computer RTS player from back in the day, I'll say that. Yeah. I'm 21. I can say back in the day now.
We'll both punch him in the face.
Sad for myself.
Alright, my list is done. What have you got? About 3 minutes, we'll say.
I just wanted to quickly mention this because I have increasingly become a Street Fighter fan in recent years. I know we haven't mentioned this yet, but I'm sure everybody knows Super Street Fighter 4 coming out in March.
Oh my god, I didn't even hear about that yet. Continue, I know.
Yeah, possibly for a reduced price point, which is nice. What else is going to be returning aside from a bunch of, old characters is the carp and barrel punching minigames.
That was wicked fun.
From Street Fighter 2. So.
Are you just gonna, it's just gonna end up getting, the fat sumo wrestler guy again and just doing the thousand fest or whatever it was called?
Pretty much, that's all anybody ever did in the first one. Or, using Chun-Li Fireball on it.
Chun-Li and her kicks, like the infinite kick.
Well, I always have my best luck with Ryu or Ken, where they have that one double kick.
Oh, yeah.
The fierce kick. Okay. I think Boater's falling asleep in this conversation.
No, Alright, and I'm you got anything sure else?
Not really. I think we've pretty
all right. much... So that actually wraps up the Game Nuts podcast with no interruptions, with a nice 45-minute...
Well, I was a little distracted by the people outside, shiny thing.
That's fine. Let's get a ball of yarn and tell you to go play. Alright, so that was the Game Nuts Podcast, episode 19. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any comments on what we've said today, leave it at the blog at gamenutspodcast.blogspot.com or email us, gamenutspodcast@gmail.com. This is Boater signing out.
Sticky, later.
Fear the claw, and have a good night.